just a preliminary remark about this seemingly ferocious line from Mark's gospel. If they don't believe, then they will be condemned. This is a very Johannine kind of sentiment. What does it mean to disbelieve? It means to deny what one knows as the truth. And to lie to oneself. Insofar as we lie to ourselves, we are condemned to a life of inauthenticity. Okay. That word authentic is a kind of lynch word to what I want to talk about. Namely, what does the ascension of Jesus mean? Many people think that the greatest New Testament scholar in the 20th century was a German, no less. Rudolf Bultmann was his name. And he had, in typically Germanic fashion, invented a new word for his intellectual project, Entmythologisierung, demythologization, it's called. He wanted to demystify the scriptures. What does that mean? Well, when we hear the word myth, we almost always think of some kind of weird, made-up story, fanciful in both its meaning and its detail. But that's not the original meaning of myth. A myth is a story that's created to account for something in the human condition. The Bible's full of myths. Adam and Eve, a talking snake, Jesus walking on water, perhaps even the virgin birth. In other words, we have to look beyond this literal language and ask the question, what were these guys really about? Okay. We read this stuff, if you just read this stuff straightforward, literally, then it sounds like Jesus is kind of like a hot air balloon. You know, he's just standing there and all of a sudden, whoop, he's gone and nobody sees him anymore. Well, that's rubbish, of course. God doesn't have a right hand. God doesn't have a throne that Jesus is sitting on right now. In other words, they're saying something different, and it takes a fair amount of intellectual effort for us, I think, to try to get at what these guys were trying to say. And of course, with the case of the New Testament and Jesus, there's so much theological embroidery, it's very hard to penetrate it, to find out what really underlies all that. Jesus takes away the sin of the world, for example. Now, become my favorite bête noire. Jesus didn't take away the sin of the world. Jesus lived a life of radical, authentic humanity. And it's up to us to respond to that life. Full stop. So, what does it mean when we talk about Jesus ascending? Well, this is part and parcel, of course, the whole resurrection narrative. In fact, you find in the Gospel of John, the ascension took place the same day as the resurrection did, if we're trying to create a chronology here. Luke, of course, drawing as he does on a lot of the Old Testament themes, Hebrew Bible themes, uses 40 days. 40 days are in the desert. Jesus fasted for 40 days. It rained on Noah's ark for 40 days and 40 nights, etc., etc. So this sacralized number. But if you just stand back and say, what really is going on here? Then that provides an entree, I think, into making some sense of this feast. So what was Jesus like? Well, by all accounts, he's an extraordinarily good human being. Generous to a fault. Non-discriminatory in relationship with everybody, even the least prepossessing people in his society, whores, mafiosi. Jesus, as one other Lutheran scholar put it, was the man for all others. Jesus was the man for all others. But how does such a fellow get along in this world? Jesus' world was not. He'll get killed. He's a spanner in the social structure. We can't abide that kind of goodness. We can't abide. First of all, it shows us up for the kind of mediocrities we are typically. But necessarily, it seems to me, you would have to be done away with. The passion narrative in John has the hype. He's saying, well, it's important. It's just one guy died. Because if he didn't die, then the Romans are going to come and wipe us all out. And so you get all this stuff about Jesus having to die. Jesus didn't have to die. He was a free human being. So what does the ascension mean then for us? We live continuously in a world where injustice seems to be far more powerful and pervasive than justice does. If we look at the world in which you've got 2/3 of the world going hungry, we have the 26 wars going on right now. We have a government right now which seems to be indifferent to the plight of the poor, the marginalized. We have a church which is insisting more and more firmly on the law. Jesus famously is made to say in one of the Gospels, the law was made for people, not people for the law. That's not the way we operate. It is absolutely not the way we operate. Neither in Jesus' day nor in our own. And you're a road again with 3 times as many prisoners as he was built to hold. Guys were supposed to be 1 to a cell are now 3 and 4 to a cell out there. That's small beer on the large screen that is the human condition today. We don't want to think about this stuff. We just assume hide from it, I believe. Forget it. So what, in the light of these human facts, both in Jesus' day and our own, what does the ascension say? That God will do justice to us. That this man's death, which is a massive act of injustice, will be rectified. That God will have the last word, that the goodness and the generosity and the non-oppressive reality of God is the ultimate truth. See, this makes Jesus floating upwards like a soap bubble, look like pretty thin beer. On the contrary, if what I'm proposing comes close to the truth, and that's why I'm precisely proposing it, then it puts a radically different cast on this whole business and calls us to a radically different kind of living and envisioning of ourselves and our place in the world.